folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right. So right before we get into today's episode, which is our second annual special, so still pretty special event. But before that, just to let you know, since I'm aware many of you have been waiting for this one, ticketing is now finally live for the Japan Real Estate Summit Spring 2025 session, which will take place at the Tokyo International Forum near Tokyo Station, April 12 and 13, Saturday and Sunday. We've got an amazing speakers roster lined up for you. Emil from realestate.jp, who are also sponsoring the event as always, Blanca from Arc Reform, Matt from Akias.io, Tracy from Tokyo Family Stays, Anton from Japan D Design, Alicia from Axolotl Capital, Chai from Shiki Properties, Shimizu-san from Japan Immigration Experts, Shu Matsuo and Brett Lee from Akia Hub, and of course yours truly. And between us, we cover all of the topics that hold interest for listeners and subscribers of this podcast. Home and holiday home purchases, Akia or abandoned slash vacant homes, loans, both for residents and non-residents, for investment or family homes, portfolio structuring and investment best practices, short-term stays, Airbnb, renovations, rebuilds, DIY projects, seriously everything under the sun. And even more importantly, hands down the best place to meet, liaise with, and network with like-minded Japan real estate enthusiasts, realtors, property managers, lawyers, accountants. And this is all made possible thanks to our amazing sponsors, realestate.jp, again, innovatius.com, Kaku Accounting Services, Axolotl Capital, and Shiki Properties, all of whom help us keep this event as amazing and affordable as it is. So tickets are now live, again, at summit.realestate.jp. And even better, we've extended the discounted early bird tickets for another week as of the recording of this podcast. So the discount will still be available until 13 March, this coming Thursday. If you know you'll be in Tokyo or you'd have the time to join us via the streaming Zoom room in case you're not physically in Japan during those dates, I wouldn't wait another moment. Pause this recording right now and get yourself over to summit.realestate.jp to secure those discounted tickets today. We're now up to about 60 pre-registered. And again, the event space only holds up to 100 people. For some obscure reason, most of you tend to buy tickets in the last few weeks leading up to the event, which means that if you wait for the last minute, chances are the in-person tickets at least might be gone. So what the hell are you waiting for? All right, so for today's episode, this is our annual summary episode in which we review last year's Japan real estate market trends, statistics, as published and reviewed by some of the more prominent players in the industry, Jones Long LaSalle, Knight Frank, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and the Urban Land Institute, Colliers, Saville, CBRE. And here's what they had to say about last year's market performance, as well as their projections for this year, 2025. So to start off, not a bad year at all, apparently. Japan remained the prime target for both domestic and foreign investors last year, particularly in light of the global uncertainty in the Asia-Pacific region, as well as in the US following last year's election results. However, rising construction costs, evolving workplace dynamics, and the shifting retail and logistics landscape, these all made navigating this market a little bit more challenging. So firstly, let's take a look at the commercial market and specifically the office segment of it. In Tokyo, grade A office assets showed very strong signs of recovery from the post-pandemic slump of 2023,
with demand now clearly outpacing new supply. Vacancies remain as low as 3.4%, especially in prime locations. And even rents are trending upward slightly, now clocked at just over 32,000 yen, which is about 5% higher than 2023 per square meter. Now, interestingly, tenants seem to be prioritizing higher quality buildings for their preferred lease locations, ones with sustainability certificates, smart tech integrations, whereas older buildings and ones in more peripheral locations are doing far less well. And landlords in those areas of the market are being forced to either take on major renovations or alternatively offer plenty of concessions and incentives to potential tenants just to get them in the door. Headwinds are evident, though, mainly the rising cost of both construction and operations, both of which are eating into profitability, of course. This push for sustainability compliance is also forcing landlords to undergo expensive retrofitting. And if that wasn't enough, the remote work trend, which is still alive in Japan, although not nearly as prevalent as in many other parts of the world, is also taking its toll. So quite a few companies are now reducing their office space requirements, and that affects vacancy rates as a result. Many of these companies also seem to be diverting funds from office space rental to investments in digital workspaces and also into more regional satellite-type offices. So, yeah, flexible and hybrid work models are here to stay, it would seem, even in Japan, which has traditionally been a work-at-the-office-till-you-drop kind of environment. In Osaka as well, demand for office spaces continues to grow, especially in the central areas around Umeda and Namba. Vacancy rates there are slightly higher than Tokyo, around 4.2%, but still quite stable at that level. Rents have increased by just over 3% year on year. Not nearly as much as the cost of these properties, though, which have continued to rise. And that, of course, means that yields have shrunk further. So now running at around 25,000 yen per square meter for rental. So again, a bit under Tokyo's numbers. But with many new developments coming on the market, both last year and this coming year, Osaka remains the natural next step for any company that wants to expand beyond Tokyo. Now, one of the key trends in Osaka's market is the shift towards mixed-use developments, meaning integrating office spaces with retail, hospitality, co-working hubs, which attracts diverse types of tenants. The increase in hybrid work arrangements is creating increased demand as well for flexible lease agreements and multi-purpose commercial spaces. So developers are also focusing now on tech-enhanced office spaces with high-speed connectivity, smart security systems, energy-efficient infrastructures, the works. So that's for Tokyo and Osaka's commercial spaces, but how much of that investment was actually incoming foreign investment? Well, in the residential sector at least, those have grown significantly last year, rising by about 18% and finishing 2024 at a total of 740 billion yen, or about 5 billion US dollars, with most of that money going towards multi-unit buildings and co-living spaces, surprisingly enough. Bigger investors like REITs, real estate investment trusts, and institutional investors like insurance companies, pension funds, and so forth are showing more and more interest in build-to-rent developments. That's a sector in which Tokyo and Osaka are leading the charge as well. And this uptick is apparently enticing enough to developers who've rushed to build more and more new luxury apartment buildings targeting foreign high-net-worth individuals, like a major acquisition last year by a Singapore-based investment fund who bought a 250-unit luxury apartment complex in Minato, Tokyo, for 17 billion yen, or 116 million US dollars. Now, this increase means that a total of 27%, so just under a quarter of all residential and commercial transactions, were conducted by foreign investors, with the majority of those purchased by North American and European funds, but also with increasing numbers from Singapore, Hong Kong, and South Korea. Now, an amazing 40% of those purchases being in the industrial and logistics space, which has been growing steadily in the last decade, if you've been following our annual summaries, with the advance of e-commerce globally, and Japan's no exception to this trend. Major players like Blackstone, GIC, and ESR have collectively invested over 900 billion yen, so about 6.2 billion US dollars, in logistics assets to serve that requirement, and the sentiment towards the sector is definitely on the bullish side. So, in summary, Even with all of the tailwinds of labor shortages, slight interest rate hikes, and supply chain disruptions, which, again, happened here in Japan as well, but are definitely happening everywhere else in the world, Japan's property market does continue to exhibit resilience, not the least of which is due to it being the only country in the Asia-Pacific region that actually imposes almost no limitations or restrictions on foreign buyers, and have, on the surface and official policy levels at least, have policies that are very investor-friendly. So office, logistics, residential, again, continue to be the asset classes of choice in all major cities. And sustainability, infrastructure upgrades, and all kinds of changing work-life patterns do continue to play a major part in this sort of robust growth. So all in all, things are looking good, and they look even better, guaranteed, if you join us on April 12th and 13th, physically in Tokyo or online at the Japan Real Estate Summit. Discounted tickets, again, are only going to be available for the next 3 days until 13 March Japan time, which is this coming Thursday. So hop over to summit.realestate.jp and grab yours today. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.